This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
Good morning. You're listening to The Gardening Show on WESB B107.5, 1490 AM, and worldwide on Facebook Live. Go to facebook.com/WESB1075 and you get to look at us. I'm Andy Paulson, back in the big chair this morning.
Yeah.
As soon as they made me news director, they pretty much locked me in the newsroom and I don't get to be in the big chair that often.
Oh.
It makes me feel so much more powerful.
Oh, yeah. Well, you are.
And of course, I'm here today, as always, with Master Gardener Bob Harris. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Andy.
You were talking about insects this year.
It's not
a very good year to be out there weeding, is it?
No, it's a little tough because there are a lot of insects out there, which I've told everybody July is bug month, but it also goes into August. So we have to protect ourselves. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to start out by telling a story.
Okay.
That's story time. Here we go. Yeah. That's important to me because it's about trees. And so I'll start out. This is about the maze and the minotaur. The minotaur was a creature that had a bull's head and a man's body. And once a year, it had to be fed seven boys and seven girls. So Theseus, an Athenian, and his father, Aegeus, I hope I pronounce all these right.
Aegeus.
Huh?
Aegeus.
Aegeus?
I studied mythology.
Okay. Oh, great. Then you can help me pronounce this.
I can try.
Theseus offered to go to Knossos on the Isle of Crete to enter the maze-like labyrinth of the Minotaur. He hoped to find the Minotaur and kill him, and then find his way out of the maze to set his father's country, Athens, free from King Minos of Crete. How am I doing so far?
You're doing good.
Okay. Theseus and 13 others were, and this had to happen every year, Theseus and 13 others were put on a black ship to Crete. They were given a party, entertainment by King Minos. There, Theseus caught the eye of the king's daughter, Ariadne. and she offered to help him and gave him a sword and a roll of yarn to mark his way out. And, of course, he did find his way out and found his way back to his father and his country. It was a very interesting story. But now I want to tell a little bit about the rest of the story.
Ooh, Paul Harvey here again.
Yeah. The king of Athens, afraid that his son will not return because they usually don't, goes out and plants trees. And because the king is an old man, people ask him why he bothered to plant these trees, since surely he will not live long enough to see them grow to maturity. The king replied that he is planting the trees for his son Theseus, because if Theseus is killed by the Minotaur, the trees will still grow and bear fruit, symbolically continuing his life of his son. Well, he was not killed. And this is the first recorded tree planting in history.
Wow.
So it's a pretty important story for me. This all happened 3,000 years ago.
And that's where the tradition of planting a tree in memoriam came from, I guess.
Exactly.
Even though the king was a little early in his memoriam.
Yeah, there. Yeah, he was. Yeah, but you know, it was just a known fact that all 13 of these young virgin people were going to be killed. He still had hope that his son would return. And, of course, it did turn out that way. And of course, those trees grew and bear fruit. Even though the king was an old man, his son got to enjoy it. And probably every time he looked at those trees, he remembered the story and remembered his dad in that fact. So it's important, you know, and I like to do that, plant memorial trees.
Yes.
Or they don't have to be a tree. It can be a perennial or a shrub or a whole garden.
Just something that's going to be there a while.
Be there a while, yep, and remind you, because memories are so doggone important.
If you've got a story you'd like to share with us, or if you've got a gardening question, something that's bothering you or something that's just not quite right, or if you have a question, give us a call. Telephone number, as always, is 1-814-368-9372. That's 814-368-WESB. You can also comment on our video on Facebook, or you can email us at garden@WESB.com. That's also a good way to send us photos if you want to ask Bob, hey, what the heck is this that I'm looking at here?
So I'm going to start out with talking a little bit about grapes.
Ooh,
okay,
man after my own heart.
Because this has been an odd year for grapes. There's been a very good crop, an excess of grapes this year because it's been hot and kind of dry. Grapes like that condition. So in the grape belt, they are going out and shaking the vines to shake off some of the excess. This doesn't happen very often. As a matter of fact, it was over 10 years ago that they had to do this, and it happens very, very seldom. Now, one other thing could be happening, too. Last year was not a good grape season. There was an abundant crop, so the plants didn't expend a lot of energy, so maybe that had a little bit to do with it, too, that they had extra energy, so they're producing a bumper crop, but again, a crop to the point where they have to go out and shake the vines to get rid of a little excess. So every year in the garden, things are a little different, you know. And then, of course, there are cycles like the grapes every 10 years. You know, maybe it doesn't happen every 10 years, but around that time that they get this bumper crop because of a small crop the year before and weather conditions that the grapevines do enjoy. So just a little fact there.
And hopefully it means the grapes are going to be a little more affordable than some other fruit this year, I hope.
That could be, too,
with all this inflation.
Yeah, yep. It's a neat area to visit if you ever get a chance, or if you ever have up along Lake Erie, you know, the grape belt or even the fruit belt. You can drive for miles and miles and miles and see grapevines and apple, cherry, peach trees all along there. It's just quite an amazing sight to see. Hope you get a chance to enjoy that. But I want to get into weeding.
Yes.
Weeding. It's none of us really like to do it a lot. Sometimes it can be enjoyable. It's kind of like mowing the lawn or something like that.
It's just something you have to do.
Have to
and
do
just and make the most of it.
Yeah. But it's difficult this year because it's been so hot and dry that when you try to pull a weed, that ground is so hard and so tight that chances are you're not going to get the roots. So the weed will come back. So some suggestion is wait till after a good soaking rain to weed. You can wait. Or if you can't wait, pick an area that you're going to weed. You don't have to weed the whole yard, you know. I like to pick just a bed that I can concentrate on. Pick an area that you know that you can do without stressing yourself too much in this heat. Give it a good soaking. That will loosen the soil, and you'll be a lot more successful of pulling the roots and all. And pay attention with each weed. Each weed has a different root system. Some have a long tap root to go straight down. It's a little more difficult to pull.
Something like a dandelion.
Yeah, like a dandelion. So you may have to use a screwdriver to jam in there to loosen the soil a little bit more, or your trowel to drive into the ground and loosen that soil so you can pull the whole root. But soak the soil and let it set overnight, then you'll be a lot more successful. Now, there are other ways besides pulling weeds, and they're all successful to a point. A string trimmer, or a lot of people call it weed whacker. That can also work by constantly, every time you mow, you used your weed whacker or string trimmer and cut off that weed. Eventually, you'll drain it of all of its energy, and then that weed will disappear. So that can work too. And of course, the last way is with a herbicide.
From what I've heard about some of them, you have to be really careful.
You do. You have to be careful. And especially with the home remedies. I'm not a real big proponent of the home remedies. There's a lot of unintended consequences with those.
I had one myself. I was going for a weed, and it's a common, well-selling one. I'm not going to say the name on the air, because they're not paying for the commercial. But one drop got onto a leaf of a Queen Elizabeth rose that I had in the garden. And within 3 days, that whole plant was dead.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
The home ones are powerful, so you can use a small amount. But the problem is they can be too powerful. You have to be very careful where you apply them and how you apply them.
Yes. Yes. But with herbicides, a couple of hints here that I like to do. You never, ever apply herbicide when it's 80 degrees or above, because that spray can become what we call volatile. It becomes a gas rather than a liquid quickly. And of course, that gas can float around the air and land when it will eventually land on a leaf, because the leaf surface is cooler than the air itself, and then it becomes a liquid again, and of course, then it starts to destroy that other plant. So never apply it in 80 degrees or above. And if you're applying it close to desirable plants or a plant you don't want to kill, I like to use a sheet of cardboard that I can put in between the plant I'm trying to protect and the weed that I'm trying to get rid of. So that way I know that none of the spray will float onto the other plant. So that's a good way to protect other plant material. If you do accidentally get some on a plant that you don't want it on, then if you quickly rinse it off, you should be fine. But a lot of the herbicides we have now only kill a plant when it's adhered to the leaf. If it hits the soil, it does not bother any plant. They're designed so they don't hurt a plant. Most of the herbicides, there are herbicides that we can dump in the ground. Most homeowners can't buy them. You have to have a pesticide license to buy them. Can kill everything, roots, even if it hits the soil. But the ones we're using only damage a plant if it's sprayed onto the leaf of a plant. So keep that in mind. Have we got a phone call?
Yes, Andy? We do have a phone caller. Good morning. You're on the air with Bob.
Good morning, Bob. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I've got a question. I've seen so many ads on TV about this stuff with Roundup and that, and how come it's still in the you're able to buy it still in the stores? Did they reformulate it to make it safer?
There was a controversy where they were saying that neonicotinoids like Roundup had negative health problems for humans.
Yeah, yeah. Yes and no. This was a tough one for me to answer because I'm not a scientist and I'm not involved in all the studies, but I do know through practicing all the years. A lot of the problems have occurred from people not reading the directions on the package. If you do apply them, make sure it's not a windy day to where some of it can blow back on you. Wear rubber gloves. Wash off when you're done. Maybe even wear some protective equipment besides rubber gloves. Maybe wear that mask, too. They can be safe. A lot of the problems have occurred from maybe overuse, from a lot of it, I think, is on big farms where they apply many gallons of it, not like the homeowner that's only going to do a little gallon sprayer or a little quart bottle of it. So I still feel it's safe. I use them with no problem at all, mentally and physically. But it's up to you. I can't say that it's safe, and I can't say that it's harmful.
Thank you, Bob.
You're
would
welcome.
It, would it maybe help those of us who still have all these masks sitting around?
Could yeah.
Wearing a mask when you're spraying help keep you safer?
Yes, they definitely will.
Well, there, that's something. Thank you very much for calling. 814-368-WESB, 814-368-9372 if you've got a question or a story for Bob. And we're going to take a quick break right now for a word from our friends at Worth W. Smith. And we'll be back in a moment with The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM WESB.
If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. Stay comfortable this summer with a room air conditioner from Worth Smith. Get them while they last. Doing some drainage work? You'll find culvert pipes 6-inch to 48 in 20-foot lengths. Lots of wheelbarrows in stock, too. Doing some camping? Visit their new RV parts department for your quick repairs. There's a big supply of canopies in stock, too. And don't forget to fill up your propane tanks. If you need it for summer, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
You're listening to The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM WESB. Andy Paulson in the big chair, keeping things going as smoothly as possible here for Master Gardener Bob Harris. Again, if you've got a question, you can email us at garden@wesb.com. Comments on our video stream at Facebook Live, or you can call us at 814-368-WESB. 814-368-9372. So we were talking about Roundup and yeah. other herbicides.
Yeah. So to me, you know, and this is just my opinion. Like I said, I haven't done any studies and haven't read a whole lot of the scientific information. I have read some. But applying it according to directions is so important. If it says put in 2 gallons or 2 ounces per gallon of water into your sprayer, go by that. Don't think that a little bit more is going to kill more weeds or kill them faster. And when you're spraying it, you have to make sure your sprayer is in good condition. You want droplets to come out. You don't want a mist. A mist can float in the air and, of course, land on you or other plants that you don't want to kill. You never want to track through an area. Say you have a big patch of weed you want to kill off. Don't spray them and then walk through them and then walk through another area, because you will carry some of that herbicide on the bottom of your feet to the next area.
Treat it like you're painting a floor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good one. So if you go by all the instructions and do it just as you're supposed to, making sure your equipment is right, and take advantage of the rubber glove and the mask, and don't spray all day long. Spray for a while, go in and wash up, clean your equipment, and then go back and do it again. And don't do it on a windy day, and don't do it when the temperatures are above 80. Those are real don'ts to do there. So take your time and do it right, and it can be totally safe, in my opinion.
814-368-9372, 814-368-WESB, or you can email us at garden@WESB.com. And when we came in this morning, you were talking about being eaten alive out there.
Oh, yeah.
In the fields.
Yeah.
I've been experiencing the same thing. It's a bumper year for insects. It's a bad year for humans.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Most insects like it hot and dry. So there's been a great deal of them. And I've been doing a lot of weeding lately. So I'm down on my hands and knees. You know, another point here, too, is knee pads are really helpful. Even if you're just crawling around in the soft ground, they're going to protect your clothing and protect your body. So knee pads are pretty important. And I prefer the ones you strap onto your knees, not the pad that you move around, because eventually you're going to get off that pad that you move around unless you're real careful. But you're right down there close to the ground, so you're stirring up all those bugs that are lingering around there. So it may be a good idea before you go out to in weed to apply something like DEET or something like that to keep the bugs off of you and to protect you. And it helps to wear long pants instead of shorts for that time you're working out in the garden.
Just keep yourself hydrated if you're bundled up warm.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yes, always. But there are other products, you know, and we talked about that before the show.
Avon Skin So Soft is what my mother always used when I was a kid, and it worked so well. We were saying maybe we'll ask the listeners, is Avon Skin So Soft still available? I haven't heard hide nor hair of it for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
So if it is available, just drop us an email, and we'll tip people off. But there's plenty of great insect repellents out there. You mentioned DEET.
Off is another one that I've used. Yep. So they are well worth it to apply. And again, just like any chemical, you know, after you're done with the weeding, go in and rinse off any of that product you sprayed on you to be safe. But the Skin So Soft, I used to use that a lot years and years ago when it was readily available. It worked very well for me. But there are other ways too, even more natural ways.
I was about to ask you about that.
Yeah. Which a lot of the insect sprays have become natural. One real common one is made with geranium oil, which comes from the geranium, and that helps deter bugs. But there are other plants maybe in your yard. Yarrow is one of my favorites. Yarrow is a real ferny-like plant that has a real strong scent. And in the old days, like my grandmother and my mother used to do, just first thing they do, go out and pick some of that and rub it on their skin, and that will keep the bugs away from you with that. But there are many other plants, too, in natural forms that you can rub on your body to protect yourself from being attacked by all these little critters. Another one, very important, because I'm laughing because I'm thinking of last year, my wife doing some cemetery work, and she happened across some ground bees and got stung several times. So always be on the lookout, be aware of your surroundings, you know, looking for things like that, because it can ruin your day in a hurry. She was all right. She's a tough girl. But I went out that evening, and we took care of that ground bee nest, and so she could continue her work. So just be aware of all that, you know, really look over the situation. Like before I ever trim a shrub or get into a garden, I always kind of stand back and look around the area to see if I see any bees, wasps, or hornets, or any of those bugs that may be visible that I'll know to protect myself once I get in there. Because once you're down on your knees, you know, maybe and you're busy pulling weeds and concentrating, you don't see that stuff. So once in a while, take a good look around and protect yourself that way.
But do remember, if you have a bee's nest near your garden that it's going to be a problem, don't destroy it. Get a professional to move it if you can.
That's a good idea, yeah.
Because we've got to protect these pollinators.
That's true. Yep, we have to. So keep that in mind, too. So, yeah, it's buggy, and you're probably going to get bit while you're out there weeding, but try to protect yourself, and things will go a lot better. And wait till after a good soaking rain, or soak that ground yourself. Makes things so much easier.
And it's also good for the plants,
too. Yes, it is.
814-368-WESB, 814-368-9372. I've got time for one more caller. If you can dial in quick, we'll get you in. If not, if you have a question during the week, like I said, email us, garden@wesb.com. You can feel free to attach photos, and we will get to your answer on an upcoming show. So we've got a couple minutes left. What else do we have to talk about today?
So I was talking about watering your garden before you pull the weeds. Also, it's been tough on a lot of people this year keeping their garden moist and keeping the plants healthy. And this is where that mulch is going to come in extremely handy, because if you've got a nice thick layer of mulch over the top of the soil in your garden bed or around your trees, shrubs, that's going to conserve a lot of moisture, so you don't have to go out there and water once a day, twice a day, you know, or often. So mulch this year is really, really important. And it's a great practice. You know, I remember in my younger days when everybody grew a ground cover before mulches were put into effect. And of course, that works too. So if you have a nice ground cover, then you don't have to worry about it. But if you don't have a ground cover, and most of us don't anymore, then that mulching is going to become extremely important. And there's a lot of different ways to mulch, you know. A lot of the wood chips just make a garden look better.
Mm-hmm.
In a vegetable patch or a fruit patch, maybe a straw or chopped up leaves or old sawdust, any of those can work too, that where you're not worried so much about the aesthetic value of it, but you're worried about conserving moisture. So mulch can be extremely important. I guess I can't say that enough, you know, especially when we hit a year like this, that mulch is a huge benefit for us.
It not only helps keep the moisture in, but it keeps the sun away from the weeds, too.
Yes, that too. Yeah, very good. That mulch, all plants need light to grow, and that mulch can block out the light for those little weeds that are trying to emerge from seed, and that mulch can stop them from growing. So, has a lot of benefits. Mulch may be one of the best things you can do to a garden.
And it's pretty cheap, too,
compared to some other alternatives. Yeah. It's not something you have to do every year. If you put down a good layer one year, you can go a year without it, or maybe even 2 years without it, and then reapply what we call a skim coat, a very light coat to top dress that mulch to keep your bed looking nice. And because mulch is an organic product, it's going to start to rot away. So we have to reapply once in a while to keep that layer thick there.
You've been listening to The Gardening Show on WESB B107.5 FM. We're just about out of time for this week. Again, if you have a question for Bob during the week and you're shy and don't want to call in, you can email us at garden@wesb.com. You can also include photos if there's something you don't know what it is or if you want to explain a problem to Bob. And of course, you can join us next week. Well, next week, minus 30 minutes from this time.
Okay.
On Facebook Live, 8:30 every Saturday morning, and also on 1490 AM and 107.5 FM. I'm Andy Paulson. Thanks for listening to The Gardening Show. The ARG News Review is up next with Nick Youngs.